reads the newspaper here? Or are we all just getting it on our smartphones these days? Keeping up with the news on our smartphones. Well, you know, there's something about a smartphone and getting the news, or even watching the news on the TV, that you don't get from a newspaper. And I recall my father, when I was a girl, he would get the newspaper every Sunday. And the first thing we'd all look at were the comic strips. Who remembers that? I saw some nods. Now, those of us that do remember will know Charlie Brown and Snoopy. Well, we all know that Snoopy would do nothing all day but sleep, and mostly on top of his kennel. Well, you know, he was just lazy dog, like most dogs are. And one day he was just wandering around aimlessly, as dogs do. And he was thinking to himself, as I'm not sure dogs do. And he thought, you know, I'm growing old. And I've never really done anything with my life. I've never chased a rabbit. I've never even barked at a burglar. Cats scare me to death. I hate retrieving ducks. All I ever do is sleep. And after pondering his options, he went to lie on his back, resting his head on a stone, looking up at the sky, and said to himself, well, I guess each of us has his own special calling. You know, a lot of us go through life feeling like that, just like Snoopy, like we actually haven't really achieved anything except sleeping. And this brought to mind a character in the Bible whose name is Isaac. Now, if you think about Isaac, he doesn't jump out at you as one of those characters in the Bible that did awesome things for God. He didn't chase after chariots. He wasn't like his father Abraham that left the Ur of Chaldees and went into a place that he did not know, leading his family forth, a leader of renown. We read of all the exploits of Abraham. And then following Isaac, we have his son Jacob. And we see the things that Jacob did. Jacob that led his family across the Jabbok. Well, at first he left half of them on the other side, you know. The best wife right at the back with the best children. The not so good wife in the front. The one that didn't look that great. She and her kids could get killed first, if necessary. We see how eventually his daughter gets raped. And we hear all of these exploits of these great men. But in between Abraham and Jacob, we have this man, Isaac, that was a really boring guy who led a ho-hum life, made no ripples. He didn't loom large in the Bible. He was almost stuck like a footnote between his father and his son. You know, I've often thought, if I imagine Abraham, I imagine him a leader, a wise man, standing firm, never wavering. And I think of Jacob as a rogue. You know, that bad boy kind of guy that you don't want your daughter around. And then Isaac. I've always thought of Isaac as a gentleman, a well-mannered gentleman. He didn't do anything fantastic. He didn't travel abroad like his father Abraham or his son Jacob. In fact, ordered a bride for him. Talk about a sheltered life. The only thing we read about him really is when his father was trying to sacrifice him. But that was something his father was doing. And then we don't read about it, but what I do know in my studies, that his mother, after finding out what his father was about to do, had such a conniption about the whole affair, she actually had a heart attack and died. Talk about a protective mommy. She was going to protect her baby boy, no matter what. Now, I want to tell you something about mommies and boys. It doesn't matter if they're 55 and she's 80. She's going to beat anybody to death with her Zimmer frame if you come near her boy. So here was Isaac living his very sheltered life, just following in his parents' footsteps. In fact, he even did exactly the same as his father did and lied about his wife, Rebecca, and told the Philistines, no, she's not my wife, she's my sister. Same old. But you know, through this all, even though he kept failing, because you know, the most things we read about Isaac is actually his failures. He told people that his wife was his sister. He gives the wrong son the blessing. I mean, he doesn't even get his own wife. Through this all, God never let him down. God did not fail him. He was just an ordinary guy, and God never failed him. He didn't do fantastic exploits, but God never failed him. But we also read about how he was intimidated. And I want to ask you tonight, how do you feel when you're intimidated? Because there are times in our lives when we are intimidated. It might be by a boss, a teacher. Believe me, you just need to attend one of Professor Banting's classes for masters or doctorates, and you know what intimidation's about. He knows how to intimidate. We've all been intimidated. But how do we respond? How do we react to intimidation? Where do we turn when we're feeling alone and we're feeling afraid? And do we turn the other cheek? That's always amazed me. You know, just to stand there and get clobbered and then say, okay, fine, just do it again. I don't mind. In Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 to 23, we read, then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they'd filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by names which his father had called them. So Isaac dug wells in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdmen, saying, this water is ours. So he called the name of the well Esek, which means strife. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called his name Sitna, enmity. And he moved from there and dug another well. And they did not quarrel over it. So he called the name Rehoboth, a large space. Because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Then he went up from there to Beersheba. So you can see just from the scripture that Isaac was a gentleman. His actions were not out of character. When he came upon these situations, when repeatedly these Philistines, always the Philistines, kept filling up the wells, he didn't get mad. He didn't turn bad. He didn't start quarreling. He just said, okay, guys, let's move along. And he dug another well. And the same thing happened. And again, he didn't get mad. He just said to his herdsmen, all right, guys, let's just move along. And this kept happening. And you know, if you look at this, you begin to think, this guy was a loser. He absolutely had no spine. He was absolutely spineless. You know, these people keep stopping up the wells. And does he stand up for himself and say, hey guys, just a minute. You know, this is mine. My father dug this in the first place. But he kept moving on. He seemed absolutely powerless. He seems absolutely spineless. He seems toothless and brainless. But even as he ran out of water, he didn't run out of options. You see, he was rather willing to move than be forcefully removed. And through all of this, nobody laid a finger on him, or his family, or his herdsmen. And for the first time in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 26, verse 13, we read, if we were reading Hebrew, which none of us can. However, it says envy. And it's the first time that word is found in the Bible. They envied Isaac, this man that we could consider that didn't have much backbone. It seemed like he'd been wronged, but he hadn't been harmed. To him, there was always another option. Just move on. Get on with it. And he moved to the outskirts of the valley, to another frontier. And he was never on the point of starvation. In the midst of this, as we read through that scripture, we see that the land was going through a famine. And here, Isaac, in all of his absolute brilliance, decides to plant a crop in a famine. And he reaps 100-fold. Now we have to begin to wonder what it is about this man that God blessed 100-fold in times of a famine, when there was obviously a lack of water. This man that seemed not to be a high achiever, what was it about him that made him different? What made him outstanding? Was it because of his father? Was he being blessed because of his father? Or was there something in his character that we might be overlooking? Robert Elliot had these unforgettable words to say. He said, rule number one, don't sweat the small stuff. And rule number two, it's all small stuff. And this is obviously how Isaac saw it. It's all small stuff, guys. Let's just move on. The only command that Isaac had ever received from the Lord was to stay here. Don't go to Egypt. This is the land that I've given to your father. Just don't go to Egypt. He went as far as Gerar. But also, if we have a look at the scripture, God said, I've given you this land. Your future generations will have this land. But nowhere do we read that the word says that God said, and I give you the city of Gerar or the wells. Isaac understood that principle. Even Abimelech, the Philistine, that kept stopping up the wells. He could have come to him and said, you know, actually my father dug these wells in the first place. But this man was incredibly uncouth. He was unpleasant in all his dealings with Isaac. And Isaac could have said, well, you know, have you heard about an eye for an eye in this dog-eat-dog world? But he was peerless as a gentleman. He left without fuss and without regret. You see, in his way of thinking, the world didn't need another jerk. And in verse 24, we read that night, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. Isaac built an altar there and called the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. A few years ago, I'm thinking it's actually quite a few years ago, Time magazine put a Christian on its cover. Very unusual. And it was Franklin Graham. We all know about Billy Graham. Very few of us know about Franklin Graham. He was Billy Graham's son. Well, still is, I should imagine. I'm sure he hasn't changed fathers. But growing up, the younger Graham was often embarrassed and bothered by his father's well wishes, who often said, dear little William Frank, we heard your daddy has a new helper for preaching the word. So grow up fast. And I'm thinking this is possibly what caused him to become rebellious. You know, the neighbors actually called the sheriff out because he had taken down their tree with 720 rounds of machine gun fire. And smoking was also a habit. And when his mother caught him smoking, she decided, well, in an age-old tradition of stopping your son from smoking, smoke the whole packet. So he vomited 5 or 6 times and kept on smoking. It was only at the age of 22 that he actually came to the Lord. And it took another 22 years before he emerged on his own terms to succeed his father, Billy Graham. After garnering respect in his own right for his ministry called Samaritan's Purse. You see, sometimes we think our parents were Christians and we grew up in the church. We know the Lord, but we've never really experienced the Lord for ourselves. And we have to do this. And this was the same thing that happened to Isaac. Isaac saw his father's walk with God, but he had to get to the point when he walked with God. Isaac's knowledge and experience of God were second hand. He learned from his father, and they were post-dated. till the time that Isaac himself met God on a one-to-one basis in the same place where Hagar had met God. Now he had a direct, personal, and real relationship with God. The first time God appeared to him, he said, "I will be with you." That was in Genesis 26, verse 3. But the second time God spoke to him, he said, "I am with you." That confirmed his relationship with God in the present tense. Just like his father, Isaac then built an altar. In Hebrews 11, verses 9 and 10, tells us that Isaac stood as tall as an heir of the same promise that Abraham inherited. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Isaac's name is mentioned along with Abraham and Jacob and Joseph. He's afforded the same honor. We read of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He also made a name for himself by planting crops, something his father had never done. His father loved the mountains. He loved being on the mountaintops. But here was this man, Isaac, that was dwelling in the valley. And very often we think we can only be happy if we are on the mountaintop. We can only be successful if we are on the mountaintop. We are only blessed when we are on the mountaintop. But very clearly we see over here, Isaac was blessed and he was in the valley. He was prosperous in the valley. God was with him in the valley. He was a giant in the day he stepped out of his father's shadow and became his own man. And then verse 26 says, "Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his personal advisor, and Pichol, the commander of his forces. Isaac asked him, 'Why have you come to me, since you were hostile to me and sent me away?' And they answered, 'We saw clearly that the Lord was with you, so we said, there should be a sworn agreement between us. Let us make a treaty with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we did not molest you, but always treated you well and sent you away in peace. And now you are blessed by the Lord.' Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank early the next morning, and the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them away on their way, and they left in peace. That day Isaac's servants came to him and told them about the well they had dug. They said, 'We have found water.' He called it Shebar, and to this day the name of the town has been Bathsheba. Bathsheba." Now, I don't know if you've ever, any of you have seen the movie Braveheart. You need to have a brave heart to sit through it. It's very long. Now, you know this whole story about the Scottish William Wallace. His father was a warrior fighting against those evil British English people, and they're still doing so. Nothing's changed. He wanted to join his father and his brother in fighting. And the last words his father said to him was, "I know that you can fight, but it's our wits that make us men." And obviously after that his father was killed, and his brother, and his uncle Argyll came and collected the revenge-minded William Wallace, and he saw William looking at his sword, and his uncle handed him the sword to have a look at, and then he took it away from him and tapped him on his head and said, "First learn to use this before I teach you to use this." You see, Isaac was a gentleman. He wasn't a guerrilla. He knew he was a child of God, not a grandchild. None of us are grandchildren of God. We are heirs. We are children of God. Isaac was a peace-loving man. He was a peacemaker. When Abimelech came to him with his advisor, he didn't stand back and say, "Oh, I'm so glad you come here. Please sit down." He confronted him and said, "I'd like an explanation about all of this. You've come over here into my house now. Let's talk about this. You want peace because you know the Lord is with me. Explain." He stood up for himself. But he didn't go out to seek revenge. When Abimelech came to him to secure peace, that's exactly what he did, because he was a peacemaker. He didn't gloss over the problem. He was not a weak man. He did stand up and speak to his bullies when the occasion arose. We actually read, if we were reading Hebrew, which we won't because we can't, that he used the word hate. But when the air was cleared, he made peace. And then he sat down and had a meal with him. He practiced kindness to strangers. Isaac, in fact, was the first peacemaker in the Bible that we read of. And if you want to know why God blessed him, that's why. Because he was a peacemaker. He turned the other cheek. He didn't rise up in revenge. And that is usually what we want to do. Those people that intimidate us, those people that diminish us, those people that don't treat us the way we think we ought to be treated, we respond in kind. But the lesson we learn from this man Isaac, whom we think is a footnote between his father and his son, we can learn a lot from his behavior. God blessed him 100-fold because of his behavior. Sometimes we have vengeance burning in our heart that eventually burns a hole in our stomach. So I'm asking you tonight, are you at peace with those around you? Whoever it is, there are some in your life that it's not that easy to be at peace with. But this is the lesson from Isaac's life tonight. Be blessed by being a peacemaker. God has called us to live in peace with our spouse. I know at times you, especially if you've been married a long time, divorce is totally out of the question, but murder? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15 tells us that we need to live in peace with our spouse. We need to live in peace with the church family. We can read that in 1 Thessalonians 5:13. And then we need to live in peace with all men. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. You know, we mustn't have a musty faith. Isaac could have had a musty faith that he inherited from his father. But it doesn't matter how old we are. We need to have a fresh faith. We must keep our faith young and seek peace. Father God, I pray your hand of blessing upon your people tonight. I pray, Father God, that we all walk in peace with one another. That, Lord God, those things that come against us every day of our lives, that, Father, first we will check the fruit of the Spirit within our own lives before we react to that which has been said or done. Father, I pray your hand of blessing upon each person here tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.